All right, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yuma, daf Pei Hei. We left off daf Pei Dalad Amud Beis at the two dots toward the end of the Amud, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, approximately 11 lines before the end of the Amud. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very much for his continued sponsorship of this year. Today we are going to discuss primarily the inyan of Pikuach Nefesh and Safek Pikuach Nefesh, all of the things that we've been discussing over the last couple of days. In the Gemara, we're going to talk about whether we're Holech Achar Arov in Pikuach Nefesh, whether we follow Arov to assume that somebody who may be in distress is a Jew or is not a Jew or is alive or is not alive, and the source for the fact that Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos. That's going to be most of the action today. There is a Mishnah on Pei Hei Amud Beis, which we may get up to, maybe not, sort of depends. And that Mishnah is going to talk about the mitzvah or the inyan of tshuva on Yom Kippur. It's going to talk about the various methods of performing tshuva and the fact that Yom Kippurim itself is mechaper and what exactly that means. So that will kick off the final discussion of the Masechta, the home stretch of the Masechta, the last couple of days. But today we're going to primarily, if not exclusively, focus on Pikuach Nefesh and Safek Pikuach Nefesh. Again, we left off about 11 lines up from the bottom of the page on Pei Dalad Amud Beis. There are two dots. Last word on the line is Mechavin Umafsikin. So one of the things that we had said that you're allowed to do is if there is a fire that's threatening to harm people, even though it's Shabbos, you're allowed to put out the fire, or you're allowed to bring kalim, which are full of water, and put those kalim in the path of the fire, so that it would extinguish the fire. So says, so before we even get to the Gemara, we need to see the Tosfos over here, the second Tosfos on the page. So again, what are you allowed to do if there's a fire that's threatening people's lives? So what you're allowed to do is you're either allowed to put out the fire, or you are allowed to bring kalim full of water and put them in the path of the fire so that eventually when the fire reaches that area, the kalim will burst, the water will then douse the fire, and it'll put the fire out. So Tosfos says this is a very strange way of presenting it. Tamali davile zu ve'ein sorach lo marzu kivan dafilu l'chvuye shari kolshken lahafzik. So what would I think is worse? What's definitely worse is to actively extinguish the fire. That's definitely worse than through a gram kibui bringing kalim, which are full of water, and then if the fire bursts the kalim, and then the water is going to put out the fire, that seems pretty indirect, right? So what should be worse? What should be a bigger chilul Shabbos, a more certain chilul Shabbos? I would say that kibui is a more certain chilul Shabbos than gram kibui. So why does the Gemara say then, why does the Mishnah even say, that mechavin umafsikin, that I'm allowed to put out the fire, biadayim, and I'm also allowed to bederech gram kibui, bring kalim and put them in the path of the fire. So says the says Tosfos. So it is a chiddush. Why? Because v'yesh lomar afilu lasu yekerim delach rishus rabim ulahafzik behem. Because the chiddush is that you're even allowed to be maver dalan amos rishus rabim and bring merishus rishus. You're allowed to bring the kalim from another rishus. The salka daita chamina davka lechvuye shari. I might think in that case it's only permissible to extinguish the fire yourself. Avukule hay lahavi kalim derech rishus rabim maleim mayim diika tartiot zavach noso vigram kivui. That I might think it's actually better to be mechabe, because if I'm being mechabe, I'm just violating one iser. There's only one malacha that I'm doing. If I'm bringing kalim full of water through a rishus harabim into my private rishus, then I'm being maver da'alam as rishus harabim. I am being motzi from the rishus in which the kalim are. I'm being machnis into my rishus. That's a whole bunch of isurim of atzov achnasa. And I'm also putting out the fire b'derech gram kibui. So I might think maybe that's even worse than just putting out the fire directly. The old Salkadai Kadaita Chamina, and says Tosfos as well, Kibui Shari Tfehu Barur Yoser Sheyatzil Aval Havi Kalim Dilma Kodem Sheyavim Tavar Adleikav and Imsa Shechila Shabbos Lolitzorech Kamash Malan Nats. So in other words, Tosfos says another Havamina, why I might think that Kibui is better, because Kibui, at least if I do it, I know I'm doing an Isser, but you know what? I also know that I'm actually putting out the fire. Whereas by the Gram Kibui way, if I'm going to go to another Rishos and schlep Kalim and put them in the place of the fire, so I know I'm definitely going to violate Isurim, because I know I'm going to carry Dalat Amas Pershus Arab, am I going to be Motzi and Machnes Mirishus Rishos? What I don't know with certainty is whether I'm going to put out the fire. So I might think it actually might be better therefore, to do the kibui v'yadayim. So therefore, maybe it is a chiddush to tell me that I could be, that I could be mafsik in addition to actually being mechave. So in any event, the reason that we bring all this is because you're allowed to do this, whatever it is, whether it's an isser of kibui, whether it's a isser of atzah v'achnasa and also gram kibui, I'm allowed to do this on Shabbos because of pikuach nefesh. So says the Gemara, Lamali, what's the chiddush that I'm allowed to take kalim from somewhere and put it in front of the fire? What's the worst that that is? It's a gram kibui. Of course I'm allowed to do that. Says the Gemara, dafilu l'chatzar acheres. Now I'm even allowed to bring it to another chatzar, and that's exactly what Tosfos was just talking about, the Tosfos that we just saw. So Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, lo holchu b'pikuach nefesh achar harov. We do not follow the rov. We are not holech achar harov by pikuach nefesh. What does that mean? So hey chidami, so ine medika tisha yisrael v'kusi yecha binayu. So if there are, let's say there's a building collapse, and there's a fire, and you have to save somebody, right? Because there's a situation of pikuach nefesh. Now let's say there are 10 people at this location where there's danger, and 9 of them are Jewish, and 1 of them is a kusi. So then Rubi Yisrael Ninu, and therefore most of them are Jews, the rove of them are Jews, because 9 out of 10 of them are Jews, and therefore you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save them because it's a Safek Pikuach Nefesh, and Safek Pikuach Nefesh is Doches HaShabbos. So we are Holei Chachar HaRov. Palgo Palga, if there are 5 Jews and 5 Kusim, then Safek Nefashos Lahakel, then Safek Nefashos Lahakel, and therefore we are going to permit you to be Mechalel Shabbos. We're going to permit you to save them through Chilul Shabbos, even though there is no Rov, even though it's only Mechzal Mechza, because Safek Nefashos Lahakel. Ela Dika Tisha Kusiyim V'Yisrael Echad, if there are 9 Kusiyim and 1 Jew, Hanami Pshita, it's still Pasha that you're allowed to be Mechalel Shabbos. Why are you allowed to be Mechal Shabbos if 9 out of 10 of them are non-Jewish? How come you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos? Because davale kavua, because they're all in one location. So what do we know about the sugya? You'll remember the sugya about Tisha Chanuyos, where you have the 9 stores and all of them sell basar shchuta, except one of them sells basar nevela. So whether we're holei chachar arov, so one of the principles that we discuss in that sugya of Tesha Chanuyos is there's a principle of kol kavua kamechsa mechsa, that if everything is stationary, then we don't view it as if everything's moving around, and therefore we're not going to follow the rov. Kol kavua, if everything is stationary, kamechsal mechsa, then automatically it's considered to be a situation of 50-50. So in that case, if they're all in one courtyard and they're all sitting there, even if there are 9 kusiyim and 1 Jew, then it's a case of kol kavua kamechsal mechsa, and therefore you would save them, even though 9 out of 10 of them are actually kusim, and therefore there is no rove. Now there happens to be a chakira whether there is no rove or whether there is a rove, but we just don't follow the rove because of the principle of kol kavua. But in any event, we have 3 cases that we're setting up in the Gemara: a case of 9 out of 10 of them are Jews, in which case you're allowed to save because rove of them are Jews. 5 are Jews and 5 are Kusim, in which case it's a split, but Safek Nefashos Lahakel, and therefore we are allowed to save. 9 are Kusim and 1 is a Jew, and you're still allowed to save, even though there's a rove that they're Kusim. Rove of them are Kusim because it's Kol Kavua, and Kol Kavua is Kamechzal Mechza. So what do you need? When do we need the application of Besafek Nefashos Lo Holchu, Lo or Bepikuch Nefesh Lo Holchu Achara Rove? When do we apply that din? Says the Gemara, Lotzricha deparash lechatzar acheres. There were 10 people in a chatzar, then all of those 10 people migrated to another chatzar, and now there's a situation of pikuach nefesh. So are you allowed to save those people when you know that 9 of them are kusiyim, 1 of them is a Jew, even though ordinarily we would say kol kavua kamechzal mechza, but now they're not kavua because they all moved to the other chatzar? So says the Gemara, Mal detema kol deparish meruba parish. I might think that kol deparish meruba parish, because 9 out of 10 of the people on the initial chatzar were non-Jews, and therefore kol deparish, whoever now is in this new chatzar, is meruba parish. They're definitely a kusi, and therefore you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos in order to save them on Shabbos. Kamash Malan, de lo holcho bipikuach nefesh, achara rov. Kamash Malan, that we are not holech achara rov. It's this case that the Gemara referred to that by pikuach nefesh, we are not holech achara rov. And therefore, if there were nine kusim and one Jew, even if they then transfer to another chatzer, and even though ordinarily the principle of rov would tell me kol deparish meruba parish, and therefore I can assume that the people in distress in the chatzer are kusim and they're not Jewish, by pikuach nefesh we're not holei chachara rov, and therefore you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos to save the individuals, even though there's a nine against one rov over here. It says the Gemara, Einiv, Amar Avasi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Tisha Kusiyim V'Yisrael Echad, Biosa Chatzer Mefakhin, if the nine Kusiyim and one Jewish person are in that Chatzer, then we can be Mefakeach Es Agal, because in that case, it's what, like we said in the Gemara a couple of lines ago, it's called Kavua Kemechzal Mechza, and therefore we view it as a 50-50 split, and by Safik Nefoshas, we're going to be Mekil. But B'Chatzer Acheres, Ein Mefakhin, but if they are now found in a Chatzar Acheres, then we are not allowed to be Mefakeach Es Agal, then we're not allowed to be Mechal El Shabbos to save them. Why are we not allowed to be Mechal El Shabbos? Isn't it because now they're found in a different Chatzar, so we apply the principle of Kol Deparish Meruba Parish, and we assume that whoever's in this other Chatzar is a Kusi, and therefore you're not allowed to be Mechal El Shabbos to save the Kusi's life on Shabbos. So we see that we are Holech Achara Rov by Pikuach Nefesh. Says the Gemara, Lo Kasha, Ha Deparish Kulu, Ha Deparish Mixasayu. Well, it depends what happens. Are we dealing with a case where there were 10 people in Chatzar A, and then we know that all of them migrated to Chatzar B, in which case, of course, you're allowed to save them. The same way that you're allowed to save the Jewish person, or that you're allowed to save the person in the first Chatzar, because we're afraid maybe it's a Jew because of the principle of Kol Kavua Kemechzal Mechza. If we know that everybody went to the second Chatzar, then you're also allowed to save everybody based on the same principle. We know that everybody's there, Kol Kavua Kemechzal Mechza, and therefore you're allowed to save them. If, however, only some of the people transferred from Chatzar A to Chatzar B, then in Chatzar A we have the principle of Kol Kavua Kemechzal Mechza. In Chatzar B, because not everybody went there, we no longer have the principle of Kol Kavua Kemechzal Mechza. We're only going to have the principle of Kol Deparish Meruba Parish, and therefore you're not going to be allowed to save them. So says the Gemara, three lines up from the bottom now, Umi Amar Shmuel Hachi, but the Shmuel actually say this, Fatnan, Matzah Batinok Mushlach, if you find an abandoned baby, so Imrov Kusim, if most of the people in the area are Kusim, then Kusi, then we are Muchzuk, that he's a Kusi, that he's a guy. Vimrov Yisrael, Yisrael. If most of the people in the vicinity are Jewish, then we know that he's Jewish. Mechzal, Mechza, Yisrael. If it's 50-50, then we are Machriya the Safek Litzad, that he's a Jew. V'yama Rav, and Rav says, Lo Shanu Elalachyoso. What are we talking about over here? Is he a Kusi? Is he a Jew? That's only talking about that whether we have to support him, whether we have to sustain him. So we're going to assume that he's a Jew. Aval liyachso, but to be miyachesim, meaning Rashi says that if the baby is in a keva, whether we can allow the baby ultimately to marry a kohen, then lo, because it's a mila asu b'yuchsin, it's a mila that we make by yuchsin, that we're not going to follow the regular rover, we're not going to assume that the baby's a Jew if it's mechzal mechza, if it's a 50-50 split. And Rashi over here says, the last line in Rashi, v'yathal gav de rov Yisrael, even though rov of the people in the vicinity are Jewish, and therefore we could rightfully assume that the baby's a Jew, malos ubiyuchsin divinan tre rubik, daminan b'ksubas. We say in the Gemara Ksubas, we need two roves, not only one rove. One rove is not enough. By yuchsin, rather, we need two roves. The Meiri says that we must be talking about a case where there is no chashash of mamzerus, because if there's a chashash of mamzerus in the area, then not only would the baby be usher for a kohen, the baby would also be usher for a Yisrael. But if the only maila b'yuchsin that we're talking about is heter or iser to be married to a kohen, it's obvious we're not talking about mamzerus. We're only talking about whether the baby is a Jew or a goy, because the giores is not going to be okay for a kohen. So we say over here, if you find an abandoned baby, we follow the rove, and then we say that's only referring to whether we have to support the baby, but for yichus, there's an extra mila, and here's Shmuel, Shmuel Omer, flipping over to Pei Heyam and Aleph, Shmuel Omer lefakeach alav esagal. That the issue of whether rov of the people in the area are kusim or rov of them are Yisrael is, the nafkamina is, whether you are allowed to be mefakeach esagal, whether you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos and clear a disaster site, clear rubble away from a collapsed building in order to save the baby. So we had introduced the Gemara, the sugya today, by saying that pikuach nefesh, we don't follow the rov, and now we have Shmuel saying that by pikuach nefesh, we do follow the rov, because whether we're allowed to be mefakeach esagal is going to depend on, are rov of the people Jewish, are rov of the people not Jewish? So we see we obviously do follow the rov. Says the Gemara, ki itmar de Shmuel, a resha itmar. No. Shmuel is going even on the resha, where it says, im rov kusim kusi. If rov of the people are kusim, then we have a chazaka, that then we follow the rov, and therefore we are muchzuk, that this baby is a kusi. And amar Shmuel, that's only in terms of whether you have to sustain the baby, whether we have to provide support for the baby. Olinim pikuach nefesh ain't okay. However, by pikuach nefesh, that's not the case. We don't assume that just because rov kusim is a kusi, because by pikuach nefesh, we are not holech achar a rov, and therefore we would save this baby even if most of the people in the area are kusim. Says the Gemara, rov kusim kusi, lamai hilchasa. Well, in that case, if rov kusim, we're going to assume he's a kusi, so lamai hilchasa, what's the halacha? So it happens to be, this is a strange question, because we already said what the halacha is. The halacha is to sustain him, but the Gemara asks, hey, lamai hilchasa, if you're going to tell me anyway that we have to save him in a situation of bikuach nefesh, what's the halacha that rov of them are kusiim? So now Rapapa gives another answer. In other words, in addition to the nafkamina, whether we have to support him, Rapapa gives another answer. Lachilo nevelos. The issue is whether you're allowed to be machil him nevelos, and Rashi points out, until he grows up and until he's makabel gerus on himself. Because once he's makabel gerus on himself as a gadol, obviously you're no longer able to be machil him nevelos. However, until that point, if rov of the people in the vicinity are kusim, then we're allowed to assume the baby's a kusi, and therefore you're allowed to give the baby nevelos to eat. And Imrov Yisrael, the Gemara is searching for another nafkamina, Lamai Hilchasa, what's the halacha legabe which we follow the rov that if most of the people are Jewish, then we consider this baby as a Jew? La'achzer lo aveda, so that you have to perform the mitzvah of a Shabbos Aveda, just like you have to perform the mitzvah of a Shabbos Aveda to any Jew, so too you have to perform the mitzvah of a Shabbos Aveda to this baby if most of the people in the vicinity are Jewish people, because we assume this baby also is a Jew. Mechzal Mechza Yisrael, if 50% of the people are kusim and 50% of the people are Jewish, then we assume that the baby is a Jew, Lamai Hilchasa. Samarish Lokesh, Linezikin, that the halacha is, the nafkamina is in the case of Nezikin, because the halacha by Nezikin is as follows. If you have we're familiar, let's just back up. We're familiar with the principle of a shartam and a sharmuad, right? That so long if you have a shartam, which is not muhsuk to gore and to do damage, and the shartam still damages somebody, then you have to pay only chasi nezek. If it's a sharmuad, which is that it already is muhsuk to gore, big machlokas, whether it's already gored two times or whether it's gored three times already and now is the fourth time, whatever, we're not going to get involved in that machlokas. If it's considered to be a sharmuad, then you don't have to pay chatzi nezek, you have to pay nezek shalem. That's only by a Jew on Jew damage, right? A shar owned by a Jew damaging another shar owned by a Jew. What happens if a shar owned by a Jew gores a shar owned by a kusi? So the halacha is that the Jewish person is potter, that you don't have to pay any nezek whatsoever. What happens if a shar owned by a kuti gores a shar owned by a Jew? In that case, the kusi has to pay nezek shalem, regardless of whether the shar is a shar tam or a shar amuad. So whether this person is considered to be a Jew or a kusi depends on if there's a case of nezikin. In other words, if a Jew shar gores this guy shar, is he going to be chayav to pay anything or not? If this guy shar gores a Jew shar, is he going to be chayav only chatzi nezek for a short time, or is he going to be mechayav nezek shalem as a kusi? So says the Gemara, well, hechadami. So how are we setting up this case here? If a Jewish shor, a shor owned by a Jew, obviously, gores the shor owned by this person, where it's a situation of mechza al mechza, so why do we say that we consider him to be a Jew, and therefore that the shor, that the Jewish owner of the shor has to pay chatzi nezek? Nasi raya v'nishkal. Let the guy bring a raya that he's a Jewish person, and then let him take chatzi nezek. But so long as we're mesupak, whether the guy's a Jew or whether the guy's a kusi, why does he get to collect anything? He should have to bring a raya. Motzi mechaveiro, alav haraya. So says the Gemara, latzricha denachi turidi de leturidi don. So his shor gores our shor, gores the shor owned by a Jewish person. Then palga yoavle, he should give him half. The idach palga, because regardless, the kusi, regardless, this person who may be a Jew or may be a kusi has to pay chatzi nezek, because even if he's a Jew and his shor gores another shor owned by a Jew, he's got to pay chatzi nezek because it's a short time. And idach palga, namele, I see raya, d'lav yisrael, ana v'shakol. Let him say, you know what, bring me a raya, because now you, the owner of the damaged shor, is the motzi, you bring me a raya that I'm not a Jew, and then I'll pay you the other half of nezek. So we've basically disproved that there is a nafkamina here by nezek, because either way, even if this guy, even no matter what this guy is, he could say, I'm only going to pay you chatzi nezek now, and the rest of it, you're going to have to prove that I'm not a Jew, and at that point, you're going to be able to collect nezek shalem as if I had a din of a full-blown kusi. Okay, says the Gemara, now vayter at the two dots. So, misha nafal alav mapola. So, if a person is in a building collapse, so my ka'amar, so what are we saying? So, in other words, we said that it doesn't matter whether we know somebody's there or not, or if he's Jewish, or if he's alive, or if he's there. Like, what's the issue over here? So, says the Gemara, my ka'amar, lomi boy ka'amar. It's all in the style of lomi boy. Lomi boy, safkuzam shaveg enesham. It's not only a situation where we don't know whether he's there or not, but we can assume that if he's there, he's alive. Then in that case, we're definitely allowed to clear the rubble on Shabbos. We're allowed to be Michal Shabbos to try to save him. Even if we don't know if he's there, and if he's there, we don't know if he's alive, you're still allowed to be Michal Shabbos. And not only are we allowed to be Mechal Shabbos like this, if we don't know if he's there, we don't know if he's alive, but if he is there and he's alive, we know he's a Jew. No, not only that, even if there are three tzveikas, we don't know if anybody's there. We don't know if anybody is there or is alive. We don't know if anybody is there who might be alive is a Jew or not. We still, through these three levels of tzveika, can be Mechal Shabbos, and we are mefakeach esagal even on Shabbos. So says the Gemara, again quoting from the Mishnah, that we said matzo chai mefakhin. If we find him and he's alive, then we continue clearing out the rubble and we extricate him from the rubble. So says the Gemara, matzo chai pshita. Obviously, if you find him alive, the whole point of your chil Shabbos is to save the guy. So what are we going to assume? That you're digging, you find the guy, and then you're going to leave him there? Come on. So, l'tzricha dafilo chayisha. No, what it means is, l'chayisha, meaning that even if he's not going to make it for a long time, even if you're only going to be able to prolong his life for a tiny bit, still we're going to be Michal Shabbos, and we are going to be able to save him. And the Achronim say, well, the Chiddush over here in the Gemara is that what's the reason that we're Michal Shabbos in order to save somebody? The reason that Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos is because we make the Svara that it better that we should be Michal one Shabbos and that this person can then keep many more Shabbosos. And so the Chiddush over here is that even if the Svara that, oh, this person is going to keep many more Shavuos may not apply, still, we always violate Shabbos if there's a situation of Bikuach Nefesh, and that's with the Bi'ar Lacha, Paskin's La'alacha, that we are always Mechal Shabbos because of Bikuach Nefesh, even if the person is not going to be Shomer other Shavuos. So, for example, the Bi'ar Lacha says, let's say, forget about Chayisha, let's say you're saving a Shota. So a shota is not mechuyev in mitzvahs. He's not mechuyev in shmirah Shabbos and ilcha Shabbos because he's not of sound mind. Does that mean that you're not allowed to save the guy on Shabbos because the whole svara of bibachal one Shabbos that he should keep other Shabbos doesn't apply? It says the biyar lacha chas v'shalom. We do save him. So from here we learn the halacha that you save somebody, you violate Shabbos for pikuach nefesh, even if the person is not going to keep other Shabbosos. And therefore, the chiddush over here is, even if it's only l'chai isha, even if we're only going to be able to prolong this individual's life on a temporary basis, still we're mechal al Shabbos on his behalf. V'emeis yanichu. The Mishnah then said that if you find a person and he's dead, then you leave him there. So said the Gemara, again, hanami pshita, that's also pashat. So what else are you going to do? We're being mechal Shabbos to try to save people, but now that you know it's not a rescue, it's only recovery, of course you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos. The guy's already dead. L'tzricha l'reviyuda ben lakesh. No, I think because of the shita reviyuda ben lakesh. The Tanya, ein matzilin es hameis b'mnei adleika. The halacha of the Tanakama is that you're not allowed to save a dead corpse from a dleika. Let's say there's a fire in a house, and there's a dead body there, and the question is, are you allowed to be mechal Shabbos in order to pull the dead body out of this burning building? So the Tanakhama says no, because you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos for a dead person. But Amar Rav Yehuda ben Lakesh, Shemati Shematzilin Shameis B'mnei Adleika, that Rav Yehuda ben Lakesh says, no, I heard that you can be matzil the mace. You can be matzil the mace from the fire. So I might think that if Rav Yehuda ben Lakish says that you're allowed to save a corpse from a fire, so too you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos to continue pulling the corpse out of the building collapse. But says the Gemara, no. Vafilu Rav Yehuda ben Lakish lo kamar elimitok shadam bal al meso ilo shoris le asi lekvuye. The reason that you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos by carrying the mace out, which is tiltal, which is only midrabanan, the reason that you're allowed to do that is because we're afraid that if we don't permit you to be mechal Shabbos on a drabanan level, then you're going to do even worse because you're going to violate an issur deraisa by actually being mechabe the fire. So basically, Rav Yehuda ben Lakish is saying, listen, it's nice that halachically the dead body is not worth anything. Emotionally, the person is going to save the corpse. So the question is, are we going to try to get him to do it in an Isser Drabanan type way, or are we going to risk him violating even an Isser Daraisa? So Rav Yehuda ben Lakish says, you know what, better you drag the corpse out and you violate Tiltal Midrabanan, because we're afraid that you're going to violate Tiltal Daraisa. But over here, where it's in a building, where you're in a building collapse anyway, and there is no Isser Daraisa that you're performing when you're clearing out the rubble, it's all an Isser Midrabanan. Over here, if we don't allow you to pull the corpse out of the building collapse, what's the worst that you're going to do? You're going to get so distressed that you're going to clear the building collapse? I mean, that's also an Isser Midrabanan. So it doesn't matter whether you're violating this Isser Midrabanan, that Isser Midrabanan, it's all Drabanan. So therefore, there's no reason to permit you to continue clearing the rubble if the body that's found in the collapse is dead. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, in order to ascertain whether the person is alive or dead, Adhechonu Bodek, so where do you have to check the person? So Ad Chotmo, until his nose, V'yeshomer Matlibo, until his heart. You have to check to see whether he has a heartbeat. This sugya is one of the big makoros in the sugya of brain death, in terms of whether a person has to be breathing, or whether like a certain sign on an EKG is maybe a sign of life that is obviously well beyond the scope of my knowledge base, both from a halachic perspective and a medical perspective. So we'll just point out this is a makor that Rav Moshe cites in his tshuvas on it, and then we will gracefully move on. So we either check until his nose, we check until his heart. So Badakamatzel Yonim, let's say you're searching through this rubble. So Badakamatzel Yonim Asim, let's say you find people like on a top level who are dead, so you shouldn't give up hope. Lo yomar kvar mesu atachtonim. You shouldn't say, oh, well, if these people are dead, then certainly those people who are even lower in the rubble are going to be dead. Why? Because maisa haya umatsu el yonim mesim atachtonim chayim. Because there was a maisa shahaya, and they found, even though the people on the upper level were dead, the people on the lower level were alive. So you have to keep digging. So Nema Hani Tanoi Kani Tanoi. So let's say the machlokas Tanoim of where you check a person to see if he's still alive, i.e., whether it's his nose or whether it's his heart, is like another machlokas Tanoim. Detanya Mehechan Avlad Nosar. From where is a Vlad created? What point in the body? Merosho, from his head. Shenemar Mimei Imi Ata Gozi. From the stomach of my mother, you pull me out. V'omer Goze Nizrecha Veshlichi. Throw out your hair. So in other words, the life begins from the head. Abishol Omar Mitiburo. Abishol says that life begins from the navel, creation begins from the navel, from the belly button, Umashaleach Shrosha Velech Velech, and from there it casts roots up and down throughout the body. So maybe the machlokas of whether you're going to check for vital signs by the nose or the heart depends on where the vlad is created from. Says the Gemara, no, afilu teima Abishol, even Abishol, who says that the vlad is created from the navel, adkan lo kamar Abishol hasam elalini nitzira the chol midim imsiyasa mitzar. No, Abishol only has that shita by yitzira, because by yitzira it's mestaber that everything is created from the center of the body and then it spreads up and down. Avlin pikuach nefesh afilu Abishol modi dikur chiyuse beapehu. However, by pikuach nefesh, even Abishol would agree that the ikur chiyus of a person is with his nose, with his breathing. Dechsev kol asher nishmas ruach chayim beapav. And Nishmas Ruach Chaim obviously talks about Ruach, it talks about breathing through the nose. So says the Gemara, Amara Papa, Machlokas Mimata Lamala. The Machlokas is Mimata Lamala, Avon Mimala Lamata, given the Badak Leyad Chotmo, Shuv Ein Sarech. So in other words, the machlokas is, let's say you find the person's, the first thing you uncover is the lower part of the person's body. So you check his heart and you don't hear a heartbeat. Do you still have to clear the rubble until you get to his nose? The answer to that is yes, because even if he doesn't have a heartbeat, he might still be breathing. If you uncover his face first and you ascertain that he's not breathing, do you continue clearing the rubble until you get to his heart? The answer there is no, because we assume that once he's not breathing, he is not going to be alive. Tchsiv kol asher nishmas ruachayim bi apav. Okay, Kvar Hoya, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Elazar ben Azayim, Alcham and Derech. This is the first wider line that Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah were going on the way. V'Levi hasadar and Levi the organizer. There's another girsa that says Levi Asarod, Levi the uniform maker. According to the Man Yomar, it says Levi Asader. The Siach Yitzchak explains because he was Mesader all of the brisos. So, and this is not Levi who was in the generation of Rav and a Talmud of Rebbe. This is a different Levi, and that's why we give him this name, either Levi Asador or Levi Asarod. Rabbi Shmuel Benosha, Rabbi Shalbar Elazar Ben Azariah, Malchanach Harayim. And these rabbis, there were three rabbis walking, two rabbis walking after them. Nishalo Shela Zu Bifneim. And the following question was posed to them. Minayin lepikuach nefesh adochas haShabbos. So we've been speaking now already for a couple of days about the concept that you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for pikuach nefesh. Even Suffolk pikuach nefesh, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. How do we know this? So Nena Rabbi Shmuel V'yomar. So says Rabbi Shmuel like this. Im b'machteres imatzei aganav. So it says, im b'machteres imatzei aganav, if a person is in this house and he sees a thief, a robber, come into the house, then the homeowner is allowed to kill the robber. Why? Because the homeowner knows that if the robber would see him, the robber would kill him. Therefore, the homeowner is allowed to act preemptively and kill the robber. So, umazesh es safek al mamam ba. Safek al nefashas ba. We don't know, does the robber really want to kill him, or did the robber stam come to go rob him? Ushvichas damim mitame es aretz v'gorim l'shchina shesutalik me'yisrael. And shvichas damim, killing somebody, is a pretty serious iser. Nidin latzi lebenafsho, yet you're allowed to preemptively act and you're allowed to kill the robber. So we see that if we're going to permit somebody to kill somebody else, be a dayim, in a case where his own life is in danger, then certainly you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos because of pikuach nefesh. So Nene Rabbi Kiva v'yamar, Rabbi Kiva answered and said, we know from the following. V'chi yazid ish al re'eyu me'im mizbechi tikachena lamus. So in other words, if a kohen kills someone, then he's unfit for the avoda, and he's ineligible for the avoda. Now let's say he's literally in the middle of performing the avoda. Do we pull him off the mizbeach? Do we say, you kohen, off, and do we force him down? So it says, me'im mizbechi tikachena lamus, me'im mizbechi v'lo me'al mizbechi. That we only pull him from the mizbeach, but not on the Mizbeach. Meaning, if he's actively doing an avoda, we're not going to stop him from doing an avoda. That's only that we're not going to stop the Kohen from doing an avoda is only for the purpose of putting him to death. In other words, if the Kohen already started doing the avoda, we're not going to pull him down from doing the avoda in order to stand trial in this case of dinin nefashos. However, if it's to keep somebody alive, why would it be to keep somebody alive? Rashi explains, there's a capital case going on in Beis Din right now, and we think that this Kohen knows testimony that might keep the person alive, that might be Malamit Chus on the person. We're going to pull him down from doing the Avoda. So now think about the following. We don't know whether the Kohen actually has valid testimony that's going to be successful in keeping this person alive or not. The Avoda Docha Shabbos. And we also know that the Kohen's in the middle of doing the Avoda. We know that Avoda is important because Avoda is Docha Shabbos, because you're bringing Karbanos even every day of the week, even on Shabbos. Kal v'chomer lepikoach nefesh Docha Shabbos. So if we're going to stop the Avoda for a suffix of keeping somebody alive, and avoda is docha Shabbos, then we're certainly going to be docha Shabbos for a situation of pikuach nefesh. Rav Lazar has a different makar. Uma mila she echad mimasayim v'arbaam mishmona evarim shabadam. Just like mila, which is one out of 248 evarim that a person has doches haShabbos, it's doches haShabbos because mila is doches haShabbos. Kal v'chomer l'chol gufo. So kal v'chomer, in order to save his entire body, where it's not only the tikkun of one aver, it's the tikkun of kol haguf. Of course, that's going to be doches haShabbos. Rav Yosi Rav Yuda says from the following. Ach, it says eshabsosai tishmoru, so yachal akol. So it says ach es. So the Gemara doesn't quote the first word in the pasuk. Ach es shabsosai tishmoru yachal akol. I might think that I always have to be shomer Shabbos. Tamalomar ach chilek. That the ach in the pasuk tells me that I'm a chalek. Sometimes I'm shomer Shabbos. Sometimes I'm not Shomer Shabbos. When am I not Shomer Shabbos? I don't have to be Shomer Shabbos in a case of Bikuach Nefesh. That's when I don't have to be Shomer Shabbos. I have a license to be Mechal Shabbos because Bikuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos. Rav Yonas and Yosef Omar, Ki Kodesh Ilochem, because it said, what does it say about Shabbos? Ki Kodesh Ilochem, Hi Mesura B'yedchem, it is placed in your hands, and you have to decide whether you should be Mechal Shabbos or not, depending on the situation. You are not the slave to Shabbos. In other words, you don't have to necessarily succumb to Shabbos. If there's a case of Bikuach Nefesh, we are going to allow you to be Mechal Shabbos because Bikuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos. Rav Shimon ben Menasi Omer, V'shamru B'nei Yisrael as Shabbos. It says, V'shamru B'nei Yisrael as Shabbos, Amra Torah, and this is the Svara that we mentioned earlier, Chalel Alav Shabbos Achas Kadesh Yishmar Shabbos as Harbei, that you have to, you could be Mechal one Shabbos in order to permit somebody the opportunity to keep many more Shabbos in the future. And Amra Yudah Amr Shmuel, Iyava Hasam, says Rav Yudah Amr Shmuel, if I was there, and I was involved in this discussion of what the makar is for the fact that Bikuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos, Havamina Didi Adifa Mididu. I would have said an answer that blows every other answer here out of the water. Because the Pasuk says, V'chai Bahem. It says, V'chai Bahem, that you should live with them. Meaning, live with the mitzvahs, V'lo Shayamos Bahem. And the Indian of V'chai Bahem, the Pasuk of V'chai Bahem, is shayach to all of the mitzvahs in the Torah, that we shouldn't do mitzvahs if they're going to kill us. And therefore, we don't need a separate makar that if pikuach nefesh or a suffik pikuach nefesh is docha Shabbos, because one of the overarching principles of the whole system of mitzvahs is that it has to be v'chai b'hem, v'yoshe yamas b'hem, v'loshe yamas b'hem. So of course pikuach nefesh is going to be docha Shabbos. Amarava lekulu islu percha barmin de Shmuel. Happens to be that they all have an answer. All of these makaros have an answer. You could slug them all up, except for the makar of Amar Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel. Why? De lesle percha. because the Rabbi Ishmael Dilma Kedarava, the Amar Rava, Rabbi Ishmael, who said that the Makar was from the fact that if a robber comes into your house, then you're allowed to kill him, and you're allowed to kill him to save yourself. Surely you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. So Dilma Kedarava, because maybe we old like Rava. The Amar Rava, my time of the Machteres, Chazaka, Ein Adam Mamet Atzmo Al Mamono, because the robber, he's definitely going to kill you. Why? Because the robber knows that a person is not going to give up his money. So the robber knows that he's going to be confronted by the homeowner. And the robber therefore says, 100% I'm sure, if the homeowner comes and stands up to me, I'm going to kill him. And the Torah says, you don't have to be killed. If this guy's coming to kill you, you could kill him. Therefore, maybe in the case of a machteres, the reason that you're allowed to kill him as a homeowner preemptively is because you know bivados he's going to kill you. So if you know bivados he's going to kill you, then you're allowed to kill him. But how do I know that there's a makar that I'm allowed to be mechal al Shabbos for a pikuach nefesh where it's a chance I might save him, it's a chance I might not save him? And the Rabbi Kiva Nami, and according to the Makar of Rabbi Kiva as well, which where we said that we pull the Kohen down from doing the Avoda in order to testify, Dilma Kadabaya, Damar Abaya, Masrina Lezubid Rabbanan, Leda, Mamash Vidvarav. Because, and we had said, oh, maybe that's a case of a Safek, because we don't know whether the guy's testimony is going to be valid. Maybe we do know that his testimony is going to be valid, because we put a bunch of rabbis there, and the rabbis ascertain whether the guy's testimony is valid, and maybe we only pull him down from doing the avoda if we know that his testimony is going to seize the day. And we also, we could say by all of these other makoros that maybe the only time we're mechal Shabbos if we know that it's a vadai that we're going to be successful. But a suffik, where we're mechal Shabbos for suffik bikuach nefesh, maybe there is no makar. And for example, vadai mila, we're only docha Shabbos if we know for sure it's the eighth day. But if it's a suffik, whether the eighth day is Shabbos, then we're not going to be docha. Then we're not going to be docha Shabbos. With Shmuel vaday les la percha. However, Shmuel's makar of a chayba and velosha yemaspem doesn't have any retort. There is no response. It is a solid makar. Amar Avina v'yisem Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak. So that's the saying that they say, that one hot pepper is better than a basket full of melons. So in other words, that just like one hot pepper is stronger than a basket full of melons, so too Shmuel, who was an Amora, he gave a makar for the fact that Pikuach Nefesh, or even Safek Pikuach Nefesh, is Docha Shabbos, and his makar was better and was stronger than the makaros of all of the Tanaim who tried finding a makar before Shmuel. All right, so we'll stop here. We'll pick up with the Mishnah tomorrow. The Mishnah again is going to discuss the kapara that one gets for Tshuva and Yom Kippur, and that will basically take us the home stretch through the rest of the Masechta. Everybody have a great day.